You're listening to KGNU Morning Magazine. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. For years, therapists and mental health providers across the state who accept Medicaid have also had to take on hours of paperwork in order to get reimbursed for services. Recently, a clerical error threatened to put even more burden onto providers. Jennifer Brown covers mental health for the Colorado Sun and joined me today to talk about this week's controversy. Jennifer, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
In your article, you talk about how over the last week you started getting all these phone calls from mental health providers who were quitting Medicaid. What was going on?
Right. So basically, the state Medicaid department uses a contractor. They're called Colorado Community Health Alliance, which is owned by Anthem, the big insurance company. But this health alliance is the one that processes all the claims and sends the money to these mental health providers. So when they fill out the paperwork to make a claim, the providers are supposed to include a number that's their specific identification number. What seems to have happened is that after they sent in these claims, they did it properly. They included the number. The Health Alliance, in their software system that they were using, it was basically scrubbing that line. And so they were saying, look, every claim that you made in this almost 2-year period needs to be resubmitted. Otherwise, you have to pay us back the money that we paid you for those services.
So basically, the contractor messed up the claims and then asked the healthcare providers to fix it. Is that right?
Right. I mean, it's federal and state law, like you have to have that number. And so the contractor, the Health Alliance, their system was wrong. I asked them, like, why can't you guys just fix it? Like, open up the claims and add it back in or whatever. But they were saying, look, under the law, the specific counselor doing the counseling is the one that has to enter the provider identification number. So if you're a therapist and you saw a person one time a week for 2 years, that would be 104 claims that you made just for one patient. So asking them to resubmit all of those is really a totally separate full-time job than their actual job of providing therapy. And many of them I talked to were just completely overwhelmed and getting these notices in the mail saying, look, you'll have to pay us this back if you don't accomplish this task within 60 days. And some of these are like $7,000 up to, I heard one that was $18,000 that was owed.
Colorado Community Health Alliance, the contractor responsible for this debacle, reversed its decision to collect on the providers 2 days after you reported on it for the Colorado Sun. You wrote a follow-up article, and when reaching back out to providers, you found that for a lot of them, it was too little too late.
Yeah. And you hear it across the board, like anyone who provides mental health, behavioral health, the substance abuse type of therapies, they're constantly complaining really about the duplicative paperwork that they must file on multiple levels and to multiple agencies. And it's cumbersome for them to even provide services to that needy population. And then at the same time, all this is going on, mental health care providers received notice in 2019 that a 20% rate cut would go into effect in January 2020. And they had a hard time stomaching that at the time, especially since it was just ahead of all those days of isolating ourselves during the COVID pandemic, and really a time that exacerbated mental health care and the need statewide. So, I mean, basically what they're saying is we get reimbursed very little in the first place for our time to take care of these patients. And then when it becomes such a paperwork headache, they just want to quit entirely.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I would just say that, you know, these stories were really powerful. Some of these people that I spoke to, there was one woman who she went back to college as a single mom to get her degree to be a licensed counselor. And while she was in college as a single mom, got Medicaid herself and used it to pay for therapy that she termed life-saving. And so she knew that when she opened her own practice, that she would serve these same clients who needed that care and didn't have a lot of options. And it lasted 2 years. And now she's one of those that's quitting having Medicaid patients just because she can't deal with this paperwork issue. So she was really heartbroken that that's how it turned out. She said, I guess I was naive when I thought that I could open my doors to all these folks and really make a difference.
Yeah. I mean, why is it so hard? And why is there no consideration for how difficult this is or the burden it's putting on healthcare providers?
I do know that, you know, some of the providers and advocates for them have been asking for years for an ombudsman, somebody that providers could go to and be like, hey, we're not being treated fairly by the contractor who's paying our claims, or, you know, whatever their current issue might be. It's taking too many months to get reimbursed or whatever they've been through over the years. And they say that there's nowhere in Colorado to really take those complaints.
Jennifer Brown is a reporter for the Colorado Sun. Thank you for talking with me today, Jennifer.
Thank you.
When the town of Crested Butte declared a housing emergency last summer, it opened the door to new and unique solutions. The first action item on the list was to purchase a local bed and breakfast that was then converted to housing for seasonal workers. Converting hotels to create housing isn't new, but it's a trend that's growing in rural mountain communities. Stephanie Malterich reports for KBUT in Crested Butte.
On June 7th, the town of Crested Butte declared a local disaster emergency in response to the affordable housing crisis. It was the first of its kind among mountain communities in the West, where shortages continue to put stress on local workforces. Declaring a housing emergency allowed for a creative housing solution.
The Ruby is a former bed and breakfast. It's a 6-unit bed and breakfast. They're actually really nice rooms, queen-size beds with their own private bathrooms, but they have a shared kitchen. And that shared kitchen sort of convinced us that this would be perfect for a seasonal housing program.
Troy Russ, Crested Butte's Community Development Director, says the town looked into purchasing the Ruby prior to declaring an emergency order, but they quickly realized local zoning regulations would make it a challenge.
Right now, this is in the tourist zone district. The congregate housing wasn't allowed at the time, so we wanted to get this going. So the emergency order allowed us to work with the housing authority to start occupying it. The town will now clean up the zoning and go formally through our Board of Zoning and Architecture approval this spring to get it formally occupied.
Willa Williford is a workforce and affordable housing consultant based in Crested Butte. She's worked in rural and resort communities across the Mountain West for about 6 years. Over the past year, Williford has seen a surge in hotel conversions.
One of the things I love about these motel conversions is that you can effectuate them quickly, and they're environmentally conscious. So you're just repurposing an asset that exists, and with how expensive labor and construction materials are and everything it takes to get something new built, this is a really elegant solution.
While Williford commends the idea, she also sees zoning as one of the biggest roadblocks.
These motels exist in zones that were commercial or intended for tourism. And so when they're switching to a long-term rental, the underlying zoning may not allow that. Could we be more flexible about the zoning? Do we really need everything to be zoned to prohibit residential use?
Hotel conversions can also be costly if buildings need extensive renovations. In these cases, Williford says it's hard to keep the rental prices affordable. Cities and counties aren't the only entities purchasing hotels to convert into housing. In Bozeman, Montana, Brian Geyer is the housing director for the Human Resource Development Council, a nonprofit that provides a variety of assistance programs to people living in southwest Montana. Geyer says the housing outlook in the surrounding area is dire, to say the least, and HRDC realized they need to do something different in response to the post-pandemic housing issues.
And one of the ways that we did respond was we bought a hotel.
To comply with city codes, HRDC did not put the hotel to its intended use right away, but still benefited those in need of housing last year.
So for the short term, what we did was effectively operate it as a hotel with little to no fees. And so for the first year, it was very useful to us as housing for our over 65 and medically vulnerable population.
Crested Butte is one of many mountain communities that is thinking outside the box when it comes to housing. The town of Eagle converted a hotel to micro apartments in 2018. In June, Summit County signed a one-year lease with a Frisco hotel that will house workers this winter. And Steamboat Springs City Council and Planning Commission just approved two separate hotel projects that will serve as temporary workforce housing. Troy Russ admits the dormitory-style living is not for everyone. Residents of the Ruby are required to agree to basic rules, such as no overnight guests, no drugs, and no Super Bowl-like parties in the living room. And some people see these rules as inconvenient. It's also a drop in the bucket, providing six bedrooms compared to the hundreds that are needed. Yet, Russ sees the Ruby as one solution to the housing crisis that more than ever requires a quiver of solutions.
We just recognize that building your way out of it is not necessarily the only way you can address it. So we have a number of things. And fortunately, this bed and breakfast came online. We had the resources to buy it, and maybe it'll provide housing without adding impact on our community.
Seasonal restaurant workers started moving into the Ruby on August 1st. And as of mid-October, the seven rooms were fully occupied for the winter season. For KBUT and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Stephanie Malterich.
This story is part of a collaboration between the Solutions Journalism Network and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, highlighting the affordable housing solutions across the Mountain West.